Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us here in just a few short minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and get right to the market report for today. A little more pressure on gold today, down 710 on New York spot, 1279. Silver's down 6 at 1743. Platinum was down 9, 1062. And palladium was down 10 at 600. USDX today is up a little bit, 0.21 at 93.21. Crude oil was also a little higher, 0.24 at 43.89. Paper markets today, you have the Dow, triple digits most of the day, down 99 points currently, 17,651. The NASDAQ was down 37 at 47.25. The S&P was down 12, 2,051. 10-year yield down 0.02. 1.78 on the 10-year yield. And I'm assuming, yes, the euro is still holding at that 115 level, even though it's down 0.02. Japan's down. I think Japan was closed overnight for some holiday. So these are the numbers for the night before, down 3%. But both London, Germany, they were all down about 1% overnight. And we're closing up a little bit early on the market report. That gives us an extra minute or so with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Oh, Wendy, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there like everybody else with this roller coaster ride called America. I thought we'd talk about, you know, sunscreen and skin cancer and what's up with these new statistics on the skin cancer issue. There's some interesting things because we've heard a lot about skin cancer and, you know, more people seem to be getting it. And you have to wonder, you know, was this a condition that our ancient ancestors also would get? So if you check into the scientific research and the projections for skin cancer into the future, you know, the data they use really goes past 1990 or 1970s. So skin cancer is one of the most fatal cancers. It kills about 50,000 people worldwide. And some health experts are saying that there's a strong correlation between the high processing and lower nutritional value in our food and the incidence of cancer rates. Now, but could skin cancer be from maybe just too much sun, a lack of nutrition in our food, or could it be something else? I thought I'd look into it. Guess what I found? Well, research coming out of the UK Cancer Research Center, they said they compared birth and death rate records from people born in the 1930s to those born in the 1960s, and then they tracked these folks for skin cancer risk, and they found that those people born in the early 1900s had a 1 in 3 risk of developing the skin cancer, but those born in the 60s had a 1 in 2 cancer risk, and that include all types of cancer, though, not just skin cancer. But then there was this study done in Connecticut back in 2013 that it appeared in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. And these researchers were studying specifically skin cancer, but just for one state, Connecticut. And they were looking at long-term dates. So they were looking at cancer data from the 1950s in which skin cancer was kind of rare. It was 1 in 100,000 for men and 2.6 in 100,000 for women. So the skin cancer rate, they said, jumped 17-fold by the 1970s. And there was like over the next 60 years, the mortality rates, they said, tripled. And the researchers concluded that skin cancer had gone from rare to a common type of cancer, especially in developed countries, but they didn't declare the cause for the increase. So then I dug some more, and we got some other information according to the Cancer Research 75th Anniversary Edition. It's a report that was published on the rate of cancer mortalities, and they looked at some statistics that were published in 1921, which were based on a paper that was titled The Menace of Cancer, and it was written by Dr. Frederick Hoffman back in 1913. And Hoffman was a statistician, Melanie, for the Prudential Health Insurance Company, Life Insurance Company. And everyone knows life insurance industry. They're very interested in the risks that are associated with disease, right? So in 1913, Hoffman used not only U.S. data, but he also used health data from abroad, and he drew his conclusions. And he was able to get data because in the early 1900s, all the states in the U.S. had to register their death rates along with listings of deaths by disease per 100,000 populations. So what he found was that the death from cancer between 1900 to 1913 went from 63 in 100,000 to 79 in 100,000. So he concluded it was a 25% increase. Now, he said the UK at this time also showed considerable increases. Their rates were 63 in 100 in 1900 and then 105 in 100,000 by 1913. So he dug a little deeper and he found data from 1881 to 1885. And this involved just 20 large U.S. cities that had death rates for cancer at the time, and it was 49 in a population of 100,000. So he says from 1885 to 1913, there was an increase of 89 in 100,000 for the U.S., and for Europe, it was 81 in 100,000. So he was saying that, you know, cancer rates were increasing rapidly, more prevalent with people over the age of 45. Don't you find that interesting?
Yeah, I find it interesting, and it raises an interesting question.
Mm.
I don't get the impression that cancer, skin cancer, it doesn't just happen overnight.
Yeah.
I get the impression that it has a fairly long gestation period, if you can use that term. And what I'm getting to is this. Is it possible that the higher rates of death due to skin cancer correspond to increased life expectancy? I mean, you can get the beginning of cancer, skin cancer, when you're 20 years old, but if you die by the time you're 40, 45, it might not really show up in a way that's noticeable. On the other hand, if you live on to 60, 65, that early onset, it may wind up being the cause of your demise.
Right. Good point. And actually, that's some of the data that came up in this research. Some of the, you know, professionals said, you know, if you check the earlier data, people died younger and before the disease actually killed them. So, and they also said diagnosing skin cancer wasn't as sophisticated as it is today. So, But there is some other strong data we should look at. According to some health experts, there's some correlations between the way we shifted in the way we make food and the also strong correlation in the rise of a lot of these cancers, specifically skin cancer. For instance, they said 1911, the grain milling process was changed in the United States to strip away outer layers of grain, which had more nutrition but also had a lot of the oils that created a lot of the products to, you know, go rancid. So it extended shelf life. So the refined flour products started in 1911. And then they also had the character advertising back then in the 1920s where, you know, people were really encouraged to consume more of the processed foods for convenience, you know, Betty Crocker, Aunt Jemima, and all that kind of stuff. Then they showed that Alaskan and Canadian Eskimos had almost no cancer. And in 1935, they only found one case of skin cancer reported in a 50-year time frame. But once the processed foods were introduced to their culture by the 70s, their cancer rates were similar to the rest of Europe and the U.S. They also showed that when you compare sperm count in men from 1938 to 1990, it dropped 50% and testicular cancer tripled. From 1973 to 1991, prostate cancer increased 126%. So there's a lot of this, all these statistics, we could go down the list, lung cancer and all this other stuff, but it just seems to be expanding and rapidly expanding. Within just a 100-year period, they said the cancer rate jumped 79%. That's incredible.
And that's despite alleged efforts by the medical establishment to cure cancer or at least deal with the symptoms and better medical care, and it's still increasing.
Right. I mean, there's some things you throw in there. Also, people, you know, not taking better care of their lifestyle, smoking, and that also has some weight. But then, you know, we hear the argument that it's the sun that's to blame for skin cancer. So there was some recent research at the British Association of Dermatologists, and they're saying if you don't use the right sunscreen and you don't use it properly, your risk, your chance of getting or developing a deadly form of melanoma goes up by 72%. So, but the other problem is that according to Dr. Julie Sharp of the Cancer Research of the UK, she says people use the sunscreen and then they have this false protection and they spend longer hours in the sun than they should, thinking they're protected from the UV rays. So I guess the sunscreen can be like a double-edged sword a little bit. So what did our ancestors do? Well, Al, I can tell you they covered up if they were going to be out in the sun or they didn't stay out there very long to get skin cancer. I mean, if you're going to be in an arid region like the Middle East, what are they wearing? Long sleeves all the way down to their ankles, right? Yeah. So they are covering it up. And, you know, the sunscreen product didn't come on the market until the 1940s. And it was invented in 1938 by a Swiss chemistry student. His name was Franz Greeter. And he wanted some protection when he did his favorite sport, mountain climbing. So he came up with a salve that he called Glacier Cream. And it's still sold today. It's under the name Pitzbuen. But the Coppertone girl, another character marketing thing, but she didn't come on the scene until 1956. So the sunscreen products today really have more than just zinc oxide in there. They are loaded with a lot of chemicals that can be harmful. They have parabens in there, which, you know, really cause the skin to break down. The sunscreen chemicals antagonize also our hormonal system and disrupts our hormones. So other ingredients that are in your sunscreen, the oxybenzone, can make your skin super sensitive to sun and actually break down the skin surface. Another ingredient you find in them is the retinol palmitate, which is a known carcinogen, and also can increase your risk of cancer, especially, according to experts, when you are exposed to UVA rays from the sun. So health expert Dr. Hart, he says, according to a Swedish 2000 study in the International Journal of Cancer titled Sunscreen Use and Malignant Melanoma, he showed that there's an increased risk in skin cancer if sunscreen is used compared to those who don't use it. Yeah. The conclusion from the researchers was this. those who use sunscreen stay in the sun too long, risking their largest organ, the skin, to developing melanoma. Now, Dr. Hart recommends that if you're going to use sunscreen, he says, be smart about it. Use what is called a micronized zinc oxide sunscreen. It does not absorb into the skin and enter the bloodstream like the other stuff does, and it doesn't wreck or mess with your hormones, he says. So he cautions against using any aerosol spray sunscreen. You don't want to breathe in those particles. Very bad for you. So he says the micronized zinc oxide sunscreens are more expensive, usually around $30 to $50 a bottle, and they can be harder to find. So you might have to do an online search for them. So I don't know, it just seems like there's this combination of factors that may be adding to our cancer risk, you know, and depending on our, you know, constitution, our weakest link. The correlation is pretty strong around the time that we started to overprocess our foods in the early 1900s. You know, people then putting too much faith in the cosmetic sunscreens in the 1940s. And then also people were encouraged to smoke in the 1950s. Remember that? All this advertising. So I think it increased our overall risk of getting all kinds of types of cancer, but skin cancer as well. And I think, you know, if we step too far away from what's natural and our common sense, then we're going to reap what we sow, you know.
You're saying in part that cancer has a lot to do with lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
And not just a small percentage. It is predominantly, we bring it on ourselves through our foolishness, ignorance, whatever. But in a lot of instances, we bring it on ourselves just by lifestyle choices. Maybe we get too much sun.
Right. I think we just need to be more, you know, sensitive and use common sense to what we're doing, what we're putting in our bodies, what we're breathing in, and that kind of thing. You know, if you do go by the allopathic medicine, you know, the modern healthcare, the AMA healthcare regimen, if you do get skin cancer, I can tell you it's going to go something like this. It's going to entail seeing a minimum of 2 oncologists after your primary referral. You're going to see an anesthesiologist, you're going to see your surgeons, your physical therapists, your counselors, your dermatologists, and, of course, pharmacists. The cost for skin cancer can reach beyond 6 figures. So I think it's better, you know, just a little doing.
How is that even possible?
Yeah.
When you say beyond 6 figures, you're talking about $1 million or more.
Well, I mean, it could go beyond $100,000 for treatment to fix your skin cancer.
I can understand going beyond $100,000. That it's at least conceivable to me. But even that, I mean, it's right out here in the open. You don't exactly have to go into a surgery and have people carve on you with the lights, you know, with a high intensity light beam hanging over your head. I mean, how hard can it be? You would wonder.
Well, a little conscious effort can prevent big problems. It really can. You know, the thing is, you know, people aren't doers. They're not proactive enough. They don't implement things that they hear are pretty good for them. They should actually. And I think people that, you know, just do a few simple things can sidestep a lot of big problems. I'm into strengthening the immune system using herbs that work with the natural immune system. And then I'm into, you know, detoxifying the body. So those two basic things, which is the cleanse and nourish approach, goes a long way to sidestep a lot of problems out there. And it's very basic, very easy, very affordable. But people have to do it in order to reap the rewards about it. One thing I could say is we have at Apothecary Herbs, we have a calcium formula that helps rebuild the collagen. So it's great for, you know, skin recovery. If you're having a problem there. Also, we have that honey oatmeal soap that really helps lock in moisture and it doesn't strip away the good floras on your skin, helps keep things elastic and flexible. So those are two things that they can check out at our website for, you know, sun and skin health this year, thepowerherbs.com, and they can be a doer just by doing that, right?
That sounds good, Wendy. Give us a little contact information.
Sure, we have our Mother's Day special going on now through the 9th, so 15% savings on orders over 65. They can call, and the number's toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became
All right, Wendy, thank you. Look forward to talking to you next week. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I have a little package. I'm feeling better today, and I have a little special today. It's a very simple package, a very inexpensive package, $595, and we're going to include Silver Eagles 2016. American Silver Eagles, a tube of those, and a fractional 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. That's 1/10 ounce. Does have a $5 face of value on the American Gold Eagle coin. And a tube of Silver Eagles includes all your shipping costs for $595. All you have to do is give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. You can purchase one or 100 of these. They're all readily available. If you'd like to switch out, we still have some very nice-looking Morgan silver dollars circulated, the pre-1921s, if you'd like to switch out your Silver Eagles and replace them with the Morgan silver dollars. It'll run you a few extra bucks, that'll take you up to $700 if you wanted to replace the Silver Eagles with the Morgans. So $595 or $700, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188.
There's an article from Yahoo News reporting the returns on yesterday's primary in Indiana and the results, which are Trump won, mm-hmm. Cruz quit, Kasich quit, and Sanders upset Hillary. Bernie Sanders triumphed over Hillary Clinton in Indiana's open primary on Tuesday. Sanders called for an end to closed primaries and criticized Clinton for her ties to Wall Street and paid speeches to Goldman Sachs. A sign the heated rhetoric on the Democrat side shows no sign of cooling. Yeah? You got a sign that there's of no signs. Meanwhile, the likely Republican nominee Donald Trump won Indiana in a landslide, and his top rival, Senator Ted Cruz, quit. He dropped out yesterday. Kasich dropped out today. Sanders' win doesn't propel Sanders very far. He and Clinton will roughly split Indiana's 83 Democrat delegates because his victory was narrow. But the win fuels the senator's argument that he should keep fighting until the end and creates a headache for Clinton, who has made a hard pivot from front-runner to presumptive nominee. Sanders said, "I think we can pull off one of the great political upsets in the history of the United States." I think Sanders is succumbing to a certain amount of wishful thinking, but who can say? You know, he thinks he's going to beat Hillary. He thinks he can't, and if it is, it'll be a great political upset, and that's true. But the idea that he can pull this off is, I don't think Las Vegas will give you even odds on this. This is very unlikely. Sanders said earlier this week that the Democratic convention will be contested. Again, I don't think that's true. It's not going to be a contest at the convention unless Hillary does not win enough delegates before the Democrat convention to take this on the first ballot. So I doubt that it'll be contested, but Bernie is optimistic, so what can I tell you? Here is reference polls. He said that the party's superdelegates, who are almost all Clinton backers, should take a hard look at which candidate is more likely to defeat Donald Trump. And he referenced polls showing him beating Trump by a wider margin than Clinton in hypothetical matchups. In fact, the polls that are out indicate that, which is just astonishing to me, they indicate that Clinton, for the moment at least, according to a couple of polls, and both she and Sanders, either one of them, the polls indicate that they would be likely to beat Trump in the general election, which is astonishing to me. I saw one description from a mainstream publication, and I don't remember which one it was. But they interviewed some just ordinary guy. And he was talking about if Sanders loses, he thinks he may have to vote for Hillary. He says, I know she's a criminal and a murderer. All right? And this is what they said in this publication, mainstream publication. This is pretty much shocking that they would even use this quote. But he says, I know she's a criminal and a murderer. But I may have to vote for her instead of an authoritarian dictator, which is the way this guy described Trump. You know, I don't know what even to make of that. We've reached a point in this country where people don't mind electing politicians who are gangsters and criminals and perhaps even murderers. People know about it before they get into office. It's not like Richard Nixon. Later on, he says, your president is not a crook. All right? He was well into his presidency. He got caught. He denied it, but at least he got caught. Then we didn't elect Nixon knowing he was a crook. But it may be that we're going to elect Hillary knowing she's a crook. And what can we complain about if that doesn't work out well? I mean, as a people, I don't know what it even, I am astonished and amazed that Hillary is a viable candidate for the presidency of the United States. It's like electing Al Capone. You know, it's one of those things where you say, what has happened to the moral fabric of this country? What's happened to the moral fabric of the Democrat Party? How are they putting, is that all the Democrats can do is run a thug? I mean, this is not to brag about Trump per se. Trump is also, you know, he's coming in from left field in his own way. But at least he tries to tell the truth from time to time. Clinton said, Clinton said, we're going to have a tough campaign against a candidate who will literally do or say anything. And she's referring to Trump. All right, and she's right. Trump is a dangerous and unpredictable candidate who will sometimes say anything, even the truth. And that's got to, Hillary's got to be just shocked. Shocked, I tell you. All right. As an attorney, a former attorney at least, she's a professionally trained liar. Understand? That's true for every attorney, licensed attorney in the country. They're all professionally trained liars. And a lot of people say, oh, that's a radical statement. That can't be. Yeah, it is. We have people that are trained to stand up in court, and when they have a client, and the judge says, how does the client plead? And he says, not guilty. The lawyer, the defense attorney, says, not guilty. When he knows for a fact, that guy is guilty of sin. Right? It's a lie, but it's part of the system. And the prosecuting attorneys, they sit back, and plaintiff's attorneys in civil suits, they'll sit back, the prosecutors will say, you're guilty of first-degree murder, when they know you're only guilty manslaughter. They're lying. It's the way the game is played. Take a civil prosecutor, or a plaintiff's attorney, and they're suing for $50 million because somebody got whiplash. When they know the whole thing is just a triviality. They're trying to get lucky. It's a kind of lie. And it's built into the system, and it's part of the reason why I say, take a professional attorney. You're talking to somebody who is a trained professional liar. Hillary fits that description. She has been an attorney. She went through law school. They tell them it's the best legal system in the world, but it can't work if people are obligated to tell the truth. What do you suppose would happen if the lawyers had to tell the truth when they spoke to the jury or when they spoke in court? What would happen? The whole system would collapse. And your own attorney would say, well, yeah, he's guilty, Judge. You know, been talking to him. Yeah, I can tell he's guilty. That's telling the truth. Instead, the lawyer's going to say, not guilty. Our system can't work without lies. Well, my point is, Hillary is a trained professional liar, and it's not just radical hyperbole. Well, that's what she is. She's the kind of person who can be relied on to tell us anything we want to hear, so long as we don't want to hear the truth. Trump is at least trying on occasion to tell the truth. He says stupid things.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. But at least he tries to tell the truth, and he gave us a completely different political primary season because, oh my gosh, we had a candidate who tried to tell the truth. Who would have thought it was possible?
Well, we know Hillary's in being a candidate because of, you know, she was promised for whatever that she did. In her various positions. I can only imagine what she has done to the point where they continue to support her in this manner. And it to me, it's just totally mind-boggling to even consider some of the things that she's done in order for her to get the backing for her to be candidate and a very real possibility president at this point and at this juncture. So she is being rewarded.
Yeah, I know.
And I can, and it's a handsome reward, and they have blocked every negative thing about.
One of the things about her, she's just shameless. It doesn't matter. You can.
I can't imagine what we don't know, Al. That's my point. I can't even imagine what we don't know that she has done in order to receive the rewards that she's receiving.
I agree. She's probably sitting back saying, oh, they think Benghazi was something. little do they know, if they only knew what we really did, you know, in Libya or where, or
and
excuse
it's probably
me,
more
Iraq
for the,
or wherever.
It's probably more for the money laundering through his little company, because you have
foundation
through his foundation. Yeah. I would think that's where a lot of it is, because you have all the wealth of the world that is probably, you know, doing tons of money laundering through there. So, you know, and that's what makes the world go round. So, but that's just my own little,
you know, at least you can expect. I grew up in an age where at least I thought the government at least pretended to be honest. They pretended to be honorable. All right.
You could
assume that they weren't composed of a bunch of crooks. You might have been a fool to think that it was think that way, but regardless, you could reasonably suppose that the government was honest, honorable. Now they don't even nobody even cares.
But you know what, Al? It's our society.
Well, I get
we
that.
Have,
it's evidence.
I mean,
it's not just the thing in itself.
I mean, you just
it's evidence
can't point to Washington and government and so forth. They've been allowed to get away. The people of this country, many have turned a blind eye to what is going on. We've accepted the removal of prayer. We've accepted all of the important things to be removed from our lives.
Yeah.
And this is what we get. I mean,
no,
what
I agree
else
with
would
you
expect
I agree.
For us to get? And, you know, we talk about it all the time as a spiritual battle. Well, if you really believe it's a spiritual battle, well, we need to bring something more to the table in order to really fight what we have to fight. And but it's, you know, I mean, and everything that we see with the elections and with Hillary, and it's just all part of it.
I understand, and it does not bode well.
No.
It's another one of those leaves in the breeze we look at, and it's as much of a problem as the national debt. We talk about the national debt. We talk about the unemployment rate. We talk about falsified government figures and the rest of that sort of thing. Yeah, that's all important, but my God, we are, you know, whatever happened to Vince Foster? Man was probably murdered. And then his body was dumped in the park. And who knows? I don't know what happened. I'll never know what happened. But there was certainly good reason to suppose that Bill Clinton was involved, and maybe even Hillary. All right? The whole thing is just, this is like a story out of Shakespeare. This is like Macbeth. All right? Got Lady Macbeth over here. Somebody's going to get killed. And somehow the American people don't seem to mind. You know, she should not have been a candidate to begin with. The Democrat Party should have had enough of a sense of honor or whatever, where they were just shamed. They said, we can't run this woman. She's look at what all she's done. No, they don't mind. Run her.
Everybody wants something.
Well, yeah, but, you know, people ought to at least be, I don't expect people to be ethical, but they could at least act as if they were ethical. She doesn't even show. She doesn't, no, it's no big deal. None of it phases her. I don't know. It's just astonishing to me. And again, I'm a senior citizen, and therefore I may be out of touch in some regards, but I think the kids and the young people that are supporting Hillary, I think they're the ones that are out of touch.
Yeah.
I don't think they understand what's going to happen to their lives if they're going to continue to associate with people or nothing but gangsters and thugs. Let's take a break for some more commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're going to talk about helicopter money in just a moment. Bill Gross from Janus Capital Group, he's made some comments on how he's recommending helicopter money to save the economy, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, we've got a caller, Jerry from Indiana. Hello, Jerry. What up?
Not much, Al and Melody. Hope you're having a good day. Just wanted to throw some stuff out here about what happened here yesterday. And you guys already touched on it, and it kind of got me going here. But this is not the same country that I was brought up in. Morality, whatever you want to say about it, this was the most ruthless campaign and onslaught against Donald Trump than I have ever seen in my life. Campaign ads ran constant against Trump on TV. One of them was lining up 10 women and just quoting some of the words that Donald Trump had said in the past, which I really don't buy into. But at the same time, these women never had a one-on-one conversation with Donald Trump. There were things that brought up about gun control. They took a 20-year-old photo, I would guess, of Donald Trump and then put a recent photo of Hillary Clinton and said that they're teaming up and you can't trust Donald Trump on guns. And it just goes on and on. It was sickening to a degree. I'm glad it's over with here.
Yeah, but on one level, this is kind of encouraging. All right, it's consistent with what Melody and I were complaining about earlier in the program. But on the other hand, it's kind of encouraging because I saw Trump in his speech after the election and whatever, and he just said, "Look, we're winning this thing," and blah blah blah. He said that his opposition, they spent $8 million. On running attack ads against Trump. And he said he saw them all the time and they were irrational and they were false. And he only spent $900,000 in Indiana. That means they spent nine times as much money as Donald did, and they didn't persuade the public. With all of these attack ads and all this vilification and whatever, It's evidence. A lot of people just said, we know you're lying to us. We know you're trying to defame this guy. We're going to vote for him instead of you precisely because you're trying to defame him. You're not playing straight up. I think that's what maybe killed the Cruz campaign.
I was just going to say the same thing. Yep.
Cruz showed himself to be something of a crook. He was happy to take whatever votes he could get out of states where they rigged the election and they rigged the vote in a way where Trump didn't even have a chance. And Cruz was happy to take it. He was a receiver of stolen property. And I think that came across to the public. And they said, this guy's a crook. We don't need any more crooks. We've got enough crooks in Washington. So who knows? Maybe it's a good sign. What do you think about that, Jerry?
You guys hit the nail on the head again. I mean, that's exactly the way I think. There was some good to come out of this. Not only were the attack ads, from Cruz's camp, we had a station down here in Indianapolis that was for Cruz. They got into the action. This is what's sinister about this whole deal yesterday. Until the nightly news broke, I can't remember which one it was, came out and said that we've got Donald Trump up by 15 points. Up until that time, they were still saying that Cruz was going to be the nominee here in Indiana. Unbelievable. And then, of course, after the nightly news said that, then the local news started to buy in to Trump and give him a little bit of credit. But I agree with you 100%. But on the other hand, if I can state this, this was not a victory for the Republican Party in Indiana. This was a victory for the people that have had crap down their backs for the last 25 years from Republicans and Democrats on jobs. And they caught wind of Cruz going up to Marion. And Marion is I'm just going to throw this out here. Marion, Indiana is a Chrysler and GM town. And the state of Indiana has suffered so many auto and jobs related to the auto industry. It's just unbelievable. That's what I do. I keep records of the economy. I have for a long time, close to 40 years. And Cruz got up there, and there were some good old boys up there that met him right there. And they even showed it on the nightly news. They got right up in his face, and I could not believe. I thought, and actually, I didn't know that much about Ted Cruz before he came to Indiana, but I got to tell you, I thought he was a better person than that. I thought he would run a better campaign than that. But like you guys say, it's just a slash and burn characterization or character assassination against a person. But this was not a victory for Republicans. This was a victory for blue-collar grassroots workers that have lost their job. They're tired of it. They know the lies, finally. And that's basically it for me. But you guys hit the nail on the head.
Well, here's another one for what it's worth. Here's a question. Is Donald Trump really running as a Republican, or has he managed to kind of emerge like a third-party candidate? He's not a part of the Republican establishment. He's not a part of the Democrat establishment, or at least not clearly. And it's almost as if he has a certain amount of dumb luck, grace of God, he's captured the Republican Party. Yeah, he's running as a Republican, but it's almost as if a libertarian snuck into the Republican primary, and next thing you know, he winds up winning. Do you think we've got a third-party candidate going on here, Jerry?
Al, I think you hit the nail on the head again. I don't think I think you're absolutely correct. I don't know if it's a libertarian, but feeling.
You get my, but he's not part of the system. He certainly doesn't appear to be. It's hard to imagine a man with his amount of money. You can't just say he's not part of the system. And yet, It does appear to be true. And it's and part of the evidence of that is not just that Trump says he's not part of the system. We have the system that is going nuts. They have become, I don't know, they are incensed. They're like rabid dogs. We got to stop Trump. Got to stop Trump. It's evidence that the system does not welcome Trump. He is a threat. He is an outsider. So, and the public gets this. And I think that's why Trump just keeps on winning and winning. And Cruz, he tries to be a gangster just like Hillary, and he winds up just having to quit.
Well, Al, you put it, I agree with you 100% of what you just said. Donald Trump is not a Republican.
Yeah, I know. What is he, though? There's the question. I mean, we got something other than a Republican, an establishment character, but what is he? You know, I mean, it's going to be like getting a package for Christmas. It's going to have a big package with a bow on it and some, you know, paper on the outside. Looks pretty. We're going to open that package after the next election, and then we're going to find out whether we got what we were hoping for Christmas or if we got something we never wanted.
Well, Al, I think he's created a new party here, and I would have to say I'm going to put a label on this new party. I'm going to call it the America First Party.
All right.
He's being called racist for making that statement. But if you ask Hillary Clinton, if America First is racist, then what are you for, Hillary or Sanders? You know, I think he's created a whole new, I don't know, a party on his own.
He's opening something up that needs to be opened up. And we have been politically correct for most of my life, and at the expense of white people in general. And we are supposed to pick up the white man's burden and carry everybody else around with us. Nobody wants to say it, and it's not polite. It's politically incorrect to talk about it. And yet Trump has opened a door to vent that frustration. I don't want to support everybody else.
Absolutely.
You understand? I don't give a damn if your great-great-grandfather was a slave. What's that got to do with me? I never had any slaves. And they say people are entitled. They're entitled to take money from white people because black people had ancestors who were slaves. Well, so what? You think I can't point to some ancestors that had a rough time? Shall I pass the hat, see who's going to put money in it? Help Al because his great-great-grandfather was a slave or something. You know, it's just it's wrong. It's false.
Right. We're supposed to feel bad about our heritage now. And you can throw me in there as a nationalist, like Trump is. I don't care.
I know. We've been bamboozled by all these labels. We're afraid, someone's going to call you a racist. You better be quiet. All right, call. Say it. See if I care. Nobody can call me a racist without me calling them a liar.
Exactly.
All right? I'll be the racist. If somebody wants to call me that, you can be the liar, and we'll let it go from there. But I'm just saying this has gone in a bad direction for a long time, and I think Trump has tapped into it. It's about ready to burst. We'll watch and see what happens here, but at least the issues are out where we can see them and we can confront them. And instead of burying them silently, stand up and speak about these things.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Got anything else for us, Jerry?
No, I just hope you guys have a good day, and I appreciate your program, and I hope gold makes a surge, and appreciate you guys very much.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call.
You.
Appreciate your comments. Well, Melody, we've got about 3.5 minutes left.
Yes, we do.
So should we bring Frank, the producer, on and see what he's got to say about this?
Why don't we bring on Ruby? Let's see what she's got to say about it.
Ruby?
Yeah, let's bring on Ruby. Anyway, we were going to talk a little bit more about the economy and so forth. And but it's always good to hear from the listeners. It's always good to hear from Jerry. It's always good to hear that you know, what's really happening in other parts of the country, you know, where people live and what they hear is a lot different than certainly is being reported on mainstream media. And I did see some of the confrontations with Cruz and so forth out of Indiana. And it was, I think they spent like the no Trump, I think they spent like $34 million so far to.
And it's just going up in their face.
And
so far,
it's actually doing more harm than
I know.
You know, so it's kind of like you know. Sometimes I wonder who these people are that manage these programs and these campaigns and so forth. You know, it's like, really?
I wonder who pays them. I know that Soros does in some instances, and I'm sure there's other sources besides that. But I don't know. You know, this is one of those things where, I could tell you, if I was Trump and in his situation. Now, Trump last night, he talked about Cruz, and he said, this guy's a heck of a competitor, and he complimented him and so on and so forth. All right, I get that. It's the way you build your coalitions, and you, all right, you've defeated your enemy. Now you congratulate your enemy on being a great guy. Your adversary, maybe not your enemy.
Yeah, if you spent
it's
months
kind of a standard kind of situation. But I can tell you, that it would not be standard with me. If I had to go through the stuff Trump has had to go through, and I managed
that was
to get
Trump's
into the
way.
White House,
Al,
the
you don't get it.
Responsible would
don't
be
get
made
it.
To wish they had not done that.
Al, you don't get it. That was Trump's way of just rubbing the, twisting the knife in Cruz's back just a little bit more.
No,
I don't think we have time, but we do have Ivan calling.
All right, Yvonne, what you got for us? We have, what do we got?
A minute?
60
about,
seconds.
Not even that.
Not
40 seconds, Yvonne, so you got to be quick.
Well, I just was wondering if you heard that Kasich might be leaving the, you know, the...
That's what they've reported.
Right, at 5 o'clock they're supposed to have a discussion, so I didn't hear much about it. So, and I agree with earlier caller about Trump that I don't know, if, you know, he was taken to a Republican just like Sanders. He's not a Democrat. He's a socialist, and I don't know how he got into the Democratic Party, but...
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll tell you what, though, Yvonne, we are out of time, so we have to thank you for your call. We will talk to you another time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, Yvonne, and Jerry from Indiana. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, money.